Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show, and Doug Thornton, who is the host of the American Vindicta Show, and together we are the Doug and Dave Intel Report. They're happy to report growing in popularity, so we're going to increase the volume of our broadcasts, and that's actually by popular request. And by the way, to all of you who've written to me and thanked me for the webinar on privacy by Glenn Meter, you're welcome. Glenn did the work. I just set up the infrastructure for him to do it. But thank you for those kind words. I really appreciate it. Very quickly here, we're coming to you from the Noble Gold Studios. And unless you want to be sitting there crying in your soon-to-be worthless dollars and losing your retirement because of Dodd-Frank 2010, you need to call Noble Gold. They'll explain the options to you. They won't push you into anything. You have to literally close your own deal. 877-646-5347, 877 646-5347. Federal government wants me to tell you there's no guarantees. Okay, well, there's also a reason why I've been a customer for 7.5 years, multiple times over, including this week. All right, Doug, you've got some training. Let's hit that pretty quickly, and then we'll get on to our topics.
Yeah. Hey, if you want any type of training, come and visit us over at vindictasolutions.com. Firearms training, scenario-based training. You can go to Vindictive Solutions YouTube channel. Please subscribe on there. Check out some of the videos that we've done that actually, is showing us doing our training, so you can see firsthand what it is that we're teaching. If you have any questions, please email us over at vindictasolutions.com. We have a live fire course that's coming up April. I believe it's 5th through 6th or 6th or 7th, one of those days.
Is that a Friday, Saturday, or Saturday, Sunday?
It's a Saturday, Sunday. And then in May, we'll have our next course. That's our big scenario-based training course. It's all close quarters combatives. Like I said, if you're interested, give us a shout. You can email us off the website. That's Vindicta Solutions, like what's right behind me, .com.
Okay. That would be the 5th and 6th of April, the Saturday, Sunday combination. Okay. Three topics we're going to try to hit today. Hopefully, we'll get through all three. What we're learning from the JFK files, what's going on with the judges and their lawfare, and of course, the Tesla terrorist attacks. And Doug, which one do you want to start with?
Well, let's go ahead and get the JFK baloney out of the way, I guess.
You're right, it is baloney. As someone who worked in this field, this area for 30 years, and I was associated with people like Jim Mars, who I think was the guru of his day, the late Jim Mars. And then, of course, I've interviewed a few times Jim DiEugenio, who's, I think, the modern day guru. Absolutely fantastic. Jim's an ex-teacher, by the way, and it shows in his approach. I bring some knowledge to the table here. Doug, let me tell you generally what I'm seeing. The CIA is not implicating themselves. They are admitting to two shooters pretty much by what they're releasing, but they're pointing you in directions they want you to go away from the CIA. And what I mean by that is they're trying to paint Oswald as a KGB agent by inference of several documents. So if they can't deflect from themselves, they'll just say, no, the Russians did it and Oswald was their hitman. And he probably had someone else helping him. That's kind of where we're at with that aspect of it. Oswald was a manufactured identity. Let me explain that for a second. When he was arrested fleeing from the scene, I think after he knew he was going to be the patsy, he had on him not just his ID of Lee Harvey Oswald, he had a Naval Intelligence ID, Alex Heidel. And also, too, we know he was at Lake Pontchartrain Springs. With various people there training Cuban refugees to invade Cuba. And we placed him there. He had a relationship with a man who will murder him 2 days after the assassination in Jack Ruby. And they were tons of witnesses saw him together. The CIA is not releasing any of that. Yet that's stuff we've known for a long time. And the other thing is they manufactured a communist identity. They sent him to Russia, allegedly, and this is the story, to give U2 spy plane secrets in exchange for getting more. So he defects, and here's the BS of it all. He defects. He marries the niece of the deputy director of the KGB, Marina, and the State Department pays for them to come back to the United States when he should have been arrested as a traitor. But he was part of the defector program, which is why he got away with it. He worked for the CIA. He had fake IDs like in other intelligence agencies. He was an operative. He was taught to speak Russian in boot camp on his own lessons. Where do they ever do that in Marine boot camp? Doug, did they teach you to speak Russian in boot camp?
No.
No, but they did Oswald because they set this mission up. And then they tried to enhance his Marxist persona to give, for he could be the patsy that killed Kennedy for political reasons. And so he's in New Orleans and he's passing out these pamphlets, Fair Play for Cuba. There was one member of that group, Lee Harvey Oswald. And what's really interesting is he had an address on the flyer, 545 Camp Street. Uh-oh, what do we know now? Well, we know now that was the address he was passing the flyers out in front of. And it was also the receiving station for arms that would come into that area in New Orleans and then be transferred out to Lake Pontchartrain Springs, Louisiana, for training the Cuban refugees. And it was all the, and so he was clearly an operative. And the CIA is ignoring all of that. Their documents are all about pointing the arrows away from them. I won't say that their release is a nothing burger because I'm catching them in cover-ups and saying things that I know aren't true.
Well, there's a few things, just to go over real quick. For one thing, I believe there was two shooters. I think the film shows that there's two shooters by the way his body is reacting. That's there. There's so much controversy on this, and for me, I'm not an expert in JFK files. I really kind of hit it at a mute point, because he was assassinated. Our government knows who does it. And we're not saying anything about it. I'm more kind of wondering, why was he assassinated? Was it because he was talking about ending the war in Vietnam? He was talking about
Yes.
ending the CIA. Was he
Yes.
talking about interfering with the FBI operations? Was he
Yes.
talking about interfering with the drug running operations?
Don't forget about the silver certificates. That's the
Well,
reserve.
here's some other things. He was against nuclear proliferation.
Yep.
He was against Israel getting nukes. He was
Yep.
against Israel creating a plutonium refinery factory and having nuclear weapons. He talked about exposing Area 51 and the UFO information. Take your pick at which one of these is a conspiracy and which one of these is fact. The roundabout of this
They're all
conversation is.
fact. Doug, everything you just said is fact.
Well, it this yeah this is my goal here is that we had a sitting president who was killed. They misplaced his brain to prove that there was two shooters, in my honest opinion. They publicly came after and framed people, and then there was obviously some Manchurian candidate stuff that was going on there. The guy who came and visited some of the people, if I'm correct when I say this, was also involved in the CIA. Gosh, I can't
No,
remember the
Dr. Jolly West is who you're talking about.
Jolly West. Yeah, after seeing Sirhan
Yeah, that's
Sirhan.
true.
So Sirhan Sirhan was from the way you read about this, and you got to know who Jolly West is first, which is what makes honestly the JFK assassination way more interesting when you find out about operations and projects like Monarch, Project MK Ultra. The brainwashing and all that, man, is like there's something hidden there. Okay. The whole Manchurian candidate stuff, the program killers, that was what was threatened by being exposed by Kennedy. And they wanted to keep that silent, along with all the other stuff. I mean, you're talking about not just that there was some obviously evil things there. There were little fiefdoms that he was going to immediately shut down within the military industrial complex, that people did not want to go to the wayside. And me personally, I wouldn't be surprised. I know here's another conspiracy here. But I wouldn't be surprised if there might have been a, a Nazi side angle to this, because once you talk about the CIA and the operations that were going on that were still being ran by Nazi German scientists, they had a lot of political sway here in America. Well, Kennedy was getting in the way of that as well. So you had a lot of different people at different food groups within the American hierarchy that did not want Kennedy. The one of the rumors was the CIA thought that Kennedy was a secretly a communist, and
No.
because he could surrender America to the Soviet Union, he could arrest with the Bay of Pigs, with the stuff that was going on with Cuba. He put us all at some great danger, but yet
No.
no one will know the truth anymore.
That's
So
well,
it is what they
that
say.
I agree with what you just said, but I don't agree with the last statement you made. There's things we know, and there's things that have been proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. Let me address some things you brought up here. You said there were at least two shooters. We think there were three hit teams, one on top of the book depository, one in the Dowtex building directly behind the motorcade, and then on the grassy knoll. We know for sure there had to be two. Dowtex building, that explains the wound from behind in Kennedy. Okay. And the prisoners that were in the Dowtex building, a lot of them were interviewed by people investigating, and they all said they heard shots from above them. And so definitely that. We know who was on the grassy knoll. It was a Corsican hitman named Lucian Sarti with associates, and he was wearing a Dallas police uniform, and that was his MO as it came out later. He would, if he was on a military base to do a hit, he'd wear a military uniform. Well, what better way to get away than wear a Dallas police uniform? A lady by the name of Marianne Moorman took a photo at the very second that Kennedy was shot in the head. And she was so horrified, she put her camera in her purse, and it stayed out of sight for 25 years. And the FBI and Secret Service were flashing credentials and seizing people's cameras and saying, "We'll return it in 10 days," and people never got it back. Hers survived. She found Gary Mack, who was working at Eastman Kodak at the time, big photography group. And he later becomes the curator of the Texas Book Depository Museum that they turned it into on behalf of the assassination. But Gary worked with another man for 3 years to blow up what was a real cloudy image, colorize it, and then we basically see Sarti, Dallas police emblem here, the badge. He was also observed by Gordon Arnold, an eyewitness everyone laughed at, and then after the Mormon photo surfaced in 1988, people stopped laughing. And then a deaf mute named Ed Hoffman, he went to the FBI and said he saw the same thing as Gordon Arnold. So we have photographic evidence of who he is. Also, we've got testimony from the paymaster who converted the original heroin payment into American dollars. And his name was Michel Nicolet. And he's dead now, so we can say his name. He was in the Witness Protection Program, and Steve Revelle found him. And he said that Kennedy, and this addresses your next point, Kennedy was killed by in the headshot was a frangible bullet, was a dum-dum bullet. It exploded on impact. That's why they had to lose the brain, because the Italian Mannheker Karkiainen of Oswald could not have shot that, and they would never have been able to make that case. So they had to lose the president's brain to cover up the fact that Sarti used a hollow point bullet. Now, here's how Sarti came into it. We theorize, and this is theory, but everything that went against the establishment went against Rockefeller. And I'm talking David Rockefeller. Okay. 90% of all Vietnam contracts went through Chrysler Corporation that the Rockefellers owned directly in 1963. They owned Bell Helicopter. We know their role in the Vietnam War. They were huge into the military industrial complex, and Kennedy wanted to ban upper atmospheric atomic testing. Well, that's not what they wanted, Doug, because if you blow up a bomb, you got to build another one and make more money. And then, Rockefeller was a player in the Federal Reserve. He was the governor of the New York Fed. And when Kennedy came out with the silver certificates that competed with the dollar, they said, you ain't going to do this. And then Rockefeller was also an oil man, as we know. and Kennedy was dragging his heels on giving him an undue tax break called the oil depletion allowance. I mean, I could go on and on and on. And you got the heroin, the Golden Triangle in Vietnam. The Vietnam War brought in all these drugs, which was extremely profitable. And so Rockefeller was at the center. Now, I can't prove Rockefeller was part of it, but you can prove that Rockefeller, when Kennedy died, he won the world's biggest lottery because everything flipped when Kennedy was killed and Johnson took over. And here's what we think happened. We know, first of all, the mafia and the CIA worked together in World War II to catch German saboteurs in our ports during the war. And that relationship continues with the attempted assassination of Fidel Castro and other nefarious things the CIA was involved in. So the CIA went to the mafia, and it was Giancani and Trafficante that were approached, and they'll both be assassinated after the assassination of Kennedy to cover this up. But they said, "We want you to take out Kennedy." "No, we can't. Bobby Kennedy's all over the mafia. We can't do that." "Well, can you bring in someone that can?" And you went to Marseille, France, the Corsican mafia, the old French heroin connection, and that's where Sarti came from. And Sarti took the job. They also contracted out of South Africa, and we think those were the shooters on top of the book deposit, not book depository, but the Daltex building from behind. And this is how the plot was laid out. It was CIA, American mafia, and that connection's well established. And the American mafia arranged to have foreign assassins come into the country that were part of their drug networking in both South Africa and in Marseille, France. So, Doug, long explanation here, but this is what Jim Mars and I were able to prove. I mean, we have such irrefutable proof. It really stands up to everything here. But let me ask you a question. How the hell do you lose the brain in the most important autopsy done by two guys that had never done a gunshot autopsy in their life, and they burned their notes afterwards? How do you lose the brain of the president who's the subject of the autopsy? How does that happen?
Well, once again, there's no accountability. And so
Yeah.
Trump releases all this, and it's like a here's more bread and wine for the circus. I'm not impressed by anything that has come out so far. I don't think it's
No.
really shed light on anything. The most interesting thing that I've learned so far is that apparently Woody Harrelson, the actor's father, I did not know this, was a notorious hitman for a mafia
Yes.
and may have been on one of those teams.
We think he provided transportation. What happened after the assassination, and we learned this from the paymaster, Michelle Nicolet. The assassins hid out in Dallas at a safe house for 2 weeks. The worst thing you can do is run. So they hid out for 2 weeks, and we believe it was Woody Harrelson's father that guided them out of the country, eventually going to South America, where they were paid in heroin, but they exchanged the heroin for American dollars in South America. And Steve Revelle got a big part of that. He and Jim Mars actually broke that part of the case. But you're right. Woody Harrelson's dad did not shoot John Kennedy.
Yeah, apparently he's serving or served life imprisonment for killing a justice, for killing a judge.
Yes.
So he was actually not a good dude. And when I, like I said, when I found out that he might have actually been part of the assassination plot, I was like, man, the rabbit hole gets deep on this one,
He
boys.
was there with two other CIA guys. I don't know. Did you ever hear about the three bums that were briefly detained by Dallas police and the Secret Service? Well, they caught three bums, and it was kind of funny. They were in bum clothing, but two of them had new shoes. So it was kind of out of place, and the cops thought it was weird, but the Secret Service ordered them to be released. And Woody Harrelson's father was one of those guys. And they were there, I believe, to supervise the assassination. You had the Umbrella Man, and no one ever talks about this. As Kennedy's limousine turns from Houston onto Elm, going 14 miles an hour, which is a Secret Service violation, an umbrella went up. And you need a signal to coordinate the different shooters because you can't have them shooting at different times. You want to confuse people on where the shots came from. And this was a hollow area. I've walked Dealey Plaza, and it's hollow. If you say something and it's not in the middle of the day and lots of traffic, you can be heard 100 yards away. And so they had to have a signal to commence the shooting. And the raising of the umbrella was the signal. Now, the Warren Commission actually interviewed the umbrella man, and he said, "No, I was protesting the Bay of Pigs because Kennedy didn't provide air cover, and that was the umbrella." That was a bunch of BS. He was the signal man that, okay, signal goes up, 3, 2, 1, fire. And the shots are pretty simultaneous. And then no one knows where the shots really come from. So, like I said, Doug, I spent 30 years on this. Here's why I immersed myself in this. By understanding what happened, who was involved, and how they got away with it, I've always maintained we might prevent future presidential assassinations. Now, it didn't work with Reagan. Reagan was set up because Reagan wasn't playing ball with HWVP and with the Trilateral Commission members who were all in his cabinet. And Reagan was managed. And when Reagan went against the authorities, well, they tried to kill him at the Ambassador Hotel. But I do believe that that we are keeping this alive, keeps the minds of the people working that, hey, presidents don't get killed by lone assassins very often. You know, you do it by compromising the protection. And Kennedy's protection was told, he was the lead car. You don't do that. He was in a hostile southern city that chased Adlai Stevenson down the street the week before. So they should have had the bubble up on the car and Secret Service agents on the side riding, holding on to the handrails, and they didn't. Johnson was supposed to be in the car with Kennedy, and he had an argument with Governor Conley. He says, "No, you're going to be there." So Johnson knew what was going to happen. Johnson was in the back of the trail car. And what we know is this whole thing was so orchestrated, so set up. And you had a real good contribution, Doug, and I want to give you credit. If we go to Butler assassination, and this is the value of studying the assassination and the value of your experience in DHS. I remember you told me that DHS people thought in your discussions with them, if they're ever going to have a major assassination, it would be weapon, like a weapon of mass destruction or a huge mass casualty event to cover up the real intent. Oh, well, wrong place, wrong time. So sorry, he died. And Doug Hagman and others have uncovered the fact that two cars with bombs in them at Butler County were stopped from entering the area. And the ownership was linked to some guy in Mesa. And Doug has this nailed. And then they had to resort to a hastily prepared Kennedy assassination style hit that didn't work fully. Almost did, but it didn't work. And you were absolutely right that Kennedy style assassination is not practical today. There's too many cameras, too much video that could be shot. People are more aware and less trusting of the government than they were in 1963. So you're right on the money with what you said about mass casualty event.
So this is a great segue into the next thing we're going to talk about with Tesla, the threats against
Let's
Elon
do it.
Musk.
Okay.
Because with the growing violence towards the rhetoric that Trump's putting out, that Doge is putting out, and the left is as unhinged and deranged as possible, I believe we grow closer and closer and closer to not a JFK assassination plot, but to something more like a second Oklahoma City building plot.
I agree.
And so, once again, it was just a few days ago and over in Austin, which is, Antifa is very notorious for being in Austin. Austin's a disgusting city. And yet there was more several or more than that, incendiary devices, so improvised explosive devices, bombs that were found at a Tesla dealership. Who's to say we don't find something bigger and worse and it actually does go off, or it's at the next event that Trump does? Notice Trump has not done one event since he became president. I mean, he has not done his, his lap of America. And I think because the threat of violence is actually so dang high, he's been recommended not to, and he's listening. But that doesn't mean that he can't get caught off guard. And here's the thing is, if it's New World Order versus Old World Order, this kingdom versus that kingdom, There's obviously a thread on this man's life. Either it's completely rigged and he knows it's coming, or the people around him knows it's coming, or it really is that kind of a spontaneous attack, a random act of violence from a lone wolf attacker.
I don't buy that at all.
Yeah, either way, to me, either way, it doesn't matter. I think we need to put it out there that the threat is real. The threat of violence is real. They have tried to kill the man multiple times, regardless of your opinions of him or not. And that the best way to hide this, who did what, is with a large act where multiple people are affected, multiple people die, a mass casualty-like event. Think of what happened in Las Vegas with one dude, supposedly one dude,
It wasn't one.
with what, 30 guns that he had, so I mean, people who are not prepared for an attack, it's fish in a bucket. I don't know how else to say it. You wait for a soft target venue. With the Secret Service and the apparatus that is the Secret Service and their coverage and the due diligence that they do or should be doing, we should not have the risk of those threats, because they're constantly doing risk assessments, vulnerability assessments. They're doing threat assessments. They're out there doing the reconnaissance, weeks and days prior. They're doing all their dry runs. They're posting up. They're canvassing the area. They're surveilling the area. They got drones over the area. So, to the best of our limited knowledge of what their process is of protecting the president, they're doing the best that they can, right? That's what we're told, and that's what we are expected to
That
believe.
wasn't true in the last administration. The holes in the Secret Service protection were abhorrent. And there was even a cover-up. Do you remember this, Doug? That when Trump was going to speak at Long Island 4 hours before the event, they found a big car bomb inside a car at the
Yeah,
venue.
well, do
That
you
was
remember?
an attempted assassination that went wrong.
Do you remember when Trump was president, his first term, and a Secret Service supervisor said she would not step in front of Trump for and catch
Yes.
a bullet for him?
Yep, that's right.
So we've got obvious problems, right? We've got major problems. Once again, me just putting my good old cop hat on that many of you hate, abide by the Constitution, do not take political sides. And do your job and protect people. That's
Exactly.
what law enforcement should be. Completely unbiased. We're here to protect people. We're here to arrest both sides if you violate the law, and each other if we violate the law. But that doesn't happen, right? So that and once again, the trust in the system's broken. It's been broken since JFK. It remains broken to this day. And I think we're being set up for the next series of events that will happen that will guide us back to a war into the Middle East. And if they tried it with Trump, it makes sense. Trump already came out and said, "Hey, Iran, you try to take me out, we're going to nuke you." Military already knows about it. So that threat's there. The threat from the Ukrainians, don't take the Ukrainians sitting down on their threats. Believe their threats, okay? And act accordingly. So you've got
Zelensky, I think you might have even mentioned this to me yourself. Zelensky got a law passed that allows him to export assassins around the world.
Yes. Yeah. I mean that's what we do, right? Zelensky wrote himself a law. I think it's based off Article 4, Article 5, that says they have the right to self-preservation based off the UN Charter, not NATO, but based off the UN Charter, they can protect themselves. So they can deploy forces outside of the country in order to thwart any type of security threats that could be happening towards their country. Well, I mean, that's as vague a statement as you can get. So, all I could say is expect it to happen. Don't be surprised when it does. And don't be shocked that it'll be the next 9/11 that everyone from the FBI and CIA and the Biden administration were warning about. Then another 9/11's coming, another Oklahoma City bombing's coming. We're being told it's coming. Don't be surprised when it happens, because two things are going to happen. One, We're going straight back to wartime America. Two, we're cracking down on the American populace again. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I agree. There's a real danger there. If they take Trump out, that's going to happen. I don't see Trump, let's put it this way, short of necessary martial law if it comes to that. But if it doesn't happen that way, Trump is not going to crack down on the American people. It would be
No,
his.
well, I mean, he wouldn't because he'd be dead.
Do you think
It's,
J.D. Vance would?
I think you should believe what these people tell you. They have already said you're either on our side or you're not on our side. Remember, it was Bush
Yeah.
Jr. who said you're either on our side or you're on the terrorist side, and
Right.
then we got Patriot Act and all that other
That's
crap.
right. You're exactly right.
We can only go off of what they've done previously. And the government has never lessened in the laws. They've never lessened in the spying in our privacy and violating our Fourth Amendment. They've only increased it. They've only given themselves more power. They're tightening the noose, is what they're doing. And with every presidency, it happens. The noose has never been loosened. Trump didn't do it. Biden didn't do it. Trump hasn't done it yet. So, and I think that's just part of the security apparatus of America. We traded peace and safety for security. So, yeah, that's my opinion.
Oh, I agree with you. And that's very well put, to quote Benjamin Franklin. Those that would trade security for peace will get nor deserve neither. And that's exactly right, Doug. I couldn't agree with what you just said more. You brought up Tesla. I want to go back to this. We don't know the groups involved. I mean, we can speculate, and we're probably going to be in the neighborhood. But there's no way this is not orchestrated and organized. And this isn't spontaneous, organic people standing up to Trump. This is an active terrorist plot involving Tesla. Do you agree with that?
Yes and no. And here's why I'll say this, because there were multiple explosive devices that were found at that showroom. So far, I think it's either we're at five or eight now that have been arrested for attacking Tesla recharge stations or these showroom venues where they're
Right.
selling their cars.
Yep.
They've all been leftists, Trantifa, all of them.
Trantifa, is that what you said?
That's what they call themselves, Trantifa.
Trantifa,
Remember
okay.
the trans Antifa violent group who was murdering people, the cult, the same people from 2020. There's a branch that has split off in Antifa. You have the crazies and then the even more crazies. And then there's other spidering groups off of that. Well, right now, the even more crazies have taken even more crazy pills. And for one thing, we should pray for these people, but two, just understand that people with DID, with dissociative identity disorder, that are on all different types of drugs, their hearts obviously aren't right with Christ. They are very easily perceptive, right? They can be easily manipulated. They want to fit in. They want to be liked. Look at your last, what, five school shooters, the major school shooters that have all been leftists. They've all been transsexual. There's a thing happening, right? And especially with Trump taking away the LGBTQRS, the DEI stuff, and then you have that community who comes out and says it's attack upon our community. You have the trans army that was on Facebook and Twitter saying we need to prepare for war. They're coming to kill us, and so get ready to do that to them. There's this weird thing happening that's just being completely looked in the opposite direction by mainstream media and by our intel community, I guess. I'm sure they're monitoring private wise, but the public officials aren't saying anything about it. Well, we're saying it. Those of us who are former cops and veterans, who are, investigators, we're sitting here telling you need to worry about this group. This group is highly dangerous. They're highly motivated. And most of them appear to have suicidal tendencies. They want, suicide by cop. They want their 5 minutes of fame like Columbine. And you need to take that threat seriously. But man, people really aren't. This is the same group that's tied into known billionaires that helped fund everything in 2020 with the riots.
I
This
hear you.
is the same group of people who were tied into the cartels. They're tied into international terrorism. They're tied into the DNC. You need to take the threat serious, because even though the project is to try to maim, hurt, kill POTUS, innocent civilians will right now are in the way of that before they ever get to POTUS. They'll get to an innocent civilian.
Collateral damage. Doug, a thought occurred to me as you were talking. I think these people are less trans and more well-trained operatives because some of their attacks require some sophistication that you didn't see with Molotov cocktails in Portland with Antifa.
Well, here's the thing. There's a lot of veterans in this group, and this is also a group that's being trained by veterans. This is a group that is, I mean, they're not a militia FBI. They're a terror group, though the FBI has infiltrated every single militia in America, FYI. And that's the thing. You have this weird mindset within our federal law enforcement and intelligence community that says returning veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan are the biggest problems, and blah, 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 blah. We all know it when Janet Napolitano broad brushstroked everybody under Obama. But the Republican right, the extremist right, have not gone out and done what the left has done yet. Right. So, not saying they won't, but they compare onesies and twosies, like the Oklahoma City bombing and maybe a couple others, to say this is a far right extremist because they're white supremacists. But the left right now is the ones who are attacking everybody. They've gone completely bonkers in inner cities, and they're allowed to by most of these inner city public leadership. I mean, that is a true legitimate threat to the American populace. And here's the worst thing about it is that it's the lone wolf attacker. They're not coming in twos and threes attacking places. It's one deranged dude who just, lo lost his mind one day and writes a manifesto and goes out and does stuff. It's not hard to find information on the internet that's open source about how to make homemade explosives or a Molotov cocktail. You can go on YouTube and find this stuff. So it's not hard to find out that information. And people will act upon it the moment they feel they have the ability to act upon it. There was a guy who set a Tesla charging station on fire. The thing blew up and caught him on fire. So, accidents will happen in the act of terrorism, apparently. But it's still happening. The frequency of it is happening more and more, and we just need to be more aware of it. Keep
Well,
up your
it's
situational
beyond the
awareness.
Tesla facilities. People are being attacked in their cars for driving Teslas.
Yeah, there's quite a few videos of that. Quite a few. I'm telling you, man, there's a boiling point that's coming to this nation where you have the left, and we talked about this when I was still a cop, when we were in Portland, when you had Antifa show up. And then you had the left or the right show up, and they both had guns pointed at each other. And we were over here, right on the sidelines. And we were just like, well, what the hell do we do when they start shooting at each other? Shoot at both groups? Run and hide? I mean, we have not been trained on this. I don't know how to stop a civil war from happening. And I think we're eventually getting to a boiling point where the violent left will be met by the violent right, who feels like the government's not doing what they should to stop it, and we will have a kinetic response eventually. It's eventually going to
You
happen.
know what you're talking about is Bosnia 1992, where it won't be safe for you and I to walk out of our homes.
Yep, that ended up real well, didn't it?
I've interviewed people that lived in Bosnia. I actually had a foreign exchange student as an undergrad in one of my psych classes. She was from Bosnia. They actually honored Clinton. They have a statue of him because he got the shooting to stop. Might be the only good thing he did when he was in office. But she told me that she lost family members. That would just be in the wrong area, wrong time, and someone thought they were part of the enemy, and they would shoot them. And they had snipers on the roof everywhere. I mean, this was a common occurrence: snipers on the roofs, and supermarket attacks. Like if you were an ethnicity of some sort, they would come in and go to a supermarket that would sell that kind of ethnic food, and they would just massacre these people. This is what we're headed towards, isn't it?
Well, one of the interesting things to look at this is that after the Vegas shooting, Trump went after the Second Amendment. Regardless of what people think, he did. He went after the Second Amendment community. He went after bump stocks, which really is nothing, but a shot at the Second Amendment is a shot across the bow for all of us. And it should be for every American. Now, what I foresee as a potential danger here is that if you have another lone wolf attacker idiot who sits on top of a building again, like what happened at that what was it, a Christmas Day parade, where he was shooting into the crowd. He just climbed up on top of the first story of a building and with a AR-15 and starts dumping a magazine into a crowd of people. Well, violent leftists once again. You have a high possibility of getting bans coming on high capacity magazines, rifles, blah, blah, blah. All the stuff the left has been screaming for 10, 15 years that they want to do to drastically restrict the Second Amendment upon the American population. I'm not going to say Trump will do it, but don't ever think someone won't. Don't ever think someone will be like Mr. Righteous and perfect at all points in time. The man's already been shot at more than once. We just got to understand that you don't know what a person at that level who's already almost been killed will do. Or in honestly, in my heart of hearts, I think it's planned. I really do. I think the plan and goal is to try and to take the Second Amendment away from Americans, which will push us across the boundary of starting the Civil War. I think a civil war must happen. They want it to happen. And if they're not pushing the right buttons, they'll find the right buttons to push. That's my
Yeah.
crazy
Would
conspiracy.
you agree with this? The old version of the New World Order controls Antifa and their sponsors, and right-wing radicalism, when it exists, is part of the new part of the New World Order, and they're controlled by opposing people that want control of the planet.
Well, Jesus talks about this in Matthew 24, and he says that there will be kingdom versus
That's
kingdom,
true.
ethnos versus ethnos. So we know that it's going to happen. I mean, who are the kings without a kingdom right now? Jamie Wald and I were recently talking about this, and it's the technocrats. I mean, honestly, Elon Musk is a trillionaire. I mean, that man is a king. I think once you start to hit the $1 billion range, you're more or less a king, right? You can do things that other people cannot do and get away with it, apparently. And so you have the technocratic elite who are waging war against each other, against groups that don't allow them in, as Elon did. And so I think you can't ignore that, the different factions that are at war with each other. And eventually everybody chooses a side. Of course, nobody chooses Jesus's side in this war,
Oh, well, I do.
unfortunately.
Hold on. I volunteer for that.
Well, you're not one of the technocratic elite because I've seen how you work an email. That's a bad joke. But I think there's obviously wars going on from various groups.
I agree.
And collateral damage, once again, man, you and I, collateral damage. Artificial intelligence will be another one of these super weapons that'll be released, and collateral damage will happen to us as well.
That gives new meaning to the Revelation passage. It says, if Jesus didn't return for the second time, no flesh would be left alive. I take that today to possibly mean an AI threat.
Yeah. I mean, the whole goal of Satan is to destroy the world. Right? Think about how sad this is. You have different people from around the world, different ethnicities, various different religious beliefs that are all killing each other in vainglory, thinking they're doing the right thing. And yet Satan is behind pretty much the better half of it, though we know it's all within the will of God. Satan is being used to stir the pot and to pit people against each other. And meanwhile, Satan's abject goal is to get you to turn your eyes away from the cross and to kill another human, which there goes sinning upon sinning. And so it's sad to see that, there's so much death, so much malice in the world, and yet very little about the mercy and grace of Jesus is talked about by any of these technocrats, by any of these billionaires, by any of these presidents, by any of these world leaders. But war upon war, division upon division, everything revolves around the love of self. Everything revolves around the love of money and power and control. Well, right there, the devil's hand is in all of it. And so, just at the end of the day, we Christians, we just need to realize these things are happening.
Yeah, I agree.
And,
I hear
you
what
need to
you're
be paying
saying.
attention.
I want to digress for a moment before we have to close. You have now brought up in our course of our conversation Vegas two or three times. I wanted to make a news announcement. I'm doing a show on this probably next week with Michelle Melendez from Hawaii, a great broadcaster and researcher. But the guy that really led the cover up in Vegas. They helped the FBI cover up what really happened and block the CIA connections of the one assassin we know. That was a guy named Peltier, the police chief. Okay. Popular opinion ran him out of Vegas. He ended up in Lahaina. He was the guy that ordered the blocking of the exits out of the city, no sirens to be turned on. That's Peltier. He increased the death count. Exponentially. And here's what's interesting. Michelle sent this to me last week. He was just arrested for crimes connected to the Diddy situation. Did you know that? Yeah.
Say it didn't so.
Yes. I know. Say it ain't so, but it's so. This guy keeps popping up in places where there's mass death.
I'm
But anyway,
super shocked.
let's hope he gets his justice. I think we're going to have a long, hot summer. And you know the one thing you haven't even brought up, Doug? I was interviewing J.J. Carell, and I said, we have 8 million terrorists here who avoided the feds because obviously they're terrorists and they refused all the free stuff because they don't want to be identified. And he says, no, Dave, it's not 8 million. It's 13 to 15 million. And that's the conventional wisdom with Border Patrol agents and leadership. And I said, what do you think is going to happen? He goes, well, I've read your articles, a Tet Offensive. He says, I think that these terrorists are going to be let loose on America. We haven't even brought that element in. How do you think that fits in to this?
Everything is on the table. We've talked about it here
Yeah.
at the Intel Report for years now. I mean, even when I was still in DHS, the roundabout number then was we have 40 million illegals.
Yeah.
And so if only 10% of that is the criminal element, well, that's 4 million. So I look at Mumbai, India. Look at what 10 people did during that terror attack that lasted 72 hours, killed over 100 people. And think about what 4 million could do. Think about what just a million could do, what 100,000 could do,
Sure.
what a coordinated event could do. So.
John Moore once told me, ex-Green Beret broadcaster, John Moore once told me a team of eight Spetsnaz could take down the grid in LA.
Well, that's what they were trying to
Yeah.
do. Would you ever put it past the left for this next summer of violence when we start our George Floyd riots and protests again for, life, to not then use those same terrorists against their own people? There's a great mass casualty waiting to happen because, dude, the left will show up for protest. I mean, they won't show up for a job, but they will show up for a protest. So, I mean, if you want the most amount of bodies possible for a mass casualty, it's a leftist protest or it's a MAGA
Sure,
rally. It's one of
sure.
the two.
I totally agree with what you're saying on this. It's a scary time because there's a lot of elements that the disruption could come from.
Yeah.
I think it's. I asked somebody one time. I think it was Gil Mazza when I was at Take Our Borders Back conference, and I asked Gil. I said, "Which do you think is more likely in these scenarios we talked about?" He said, "All of them." That was his position, and I agree with Gil. I think he's absolutely right on the money. You know,
Everything's
I want to Before we close, I want to jump out of something. I have a pop-up feed that's on my computer and I can't get rid of it. And it's from MSN. And ordinarily, it's just anti-conservative, anti-Jesus nonsense. But they're running stuff now on quantum physics. My dad told me once that after World War II, the decision was made that three-dimensional physics is what's going to be taught, and that the quantum physics model would go into Oblivion, and DARPA and those groups would have exclusive access to it. And now we're seeing stuff on quantum physics coming out like I can't believe, in insinuating time travel, bilocality of consciousness. And this has all been on MSN recently. They're on, I'm looking right now at something that just popped up on the computer as we were talking. Scientists turn light into super solid form for the first time, a quantum miracle. And I
Yeah,
go,
Germany just did something with quantum computers to make a proton jump from one area to another,
yeah.
teleport.
Well, the one thing that Ed Dames, who was original remote viewer and operation, I think it was Operation Stargate in the 90s, Ed told me one time, he said, we did this Petri dish experiment. Now, MSN brought this out last week. If you separate the cells that were once clumped together and you could put them on the other side of the planet and keep one here, and if you electrify one, the other acts like it's being electrified.
Yeah, so what that was I believe it was from New York, or it was East Coast to West Coast. I remember that. And what they did was they had a plant, and they took a piece of a plant and brought it to a whole other side of the country, and I believe they were either electrifying or burning the main part of this plant, and it was affecting the cells in the Petri dish. And
Yeah.
the CIA was sitting there on the phone like, yep. I mean, it's burning right now.
Well, the people that Ed Dames worked with on Project Stargate were on Ted Koppel's Nightline show once, and this is like in the early 80s. And they talked about an experiment they did on a mother rabbit. She gave birth, they separated the offspring from her by hundreds of miles, and they would systematically put one of the offspring to death in a random scale, so it wasn't a timed reaction on the mom. And the mom went into frenzy, autonomic nervous system overload, high blood pressure, respiration up every time that the offspring was killed. So, it was pretty amazing. And Doug, I know you probably have heard these stories. Moms and relatives and friends who maybe had someone in Vietnam or another combat zone later, that they wake up and they go, they just died. Now, I know you've heard that story a lot, and it's about non-locality of consciousness, which is out of the quantum model. That was forbidden. And now you got MSN talking about all this stuff. Pretty interesting stuff. Well, Doug, this has been fast moving and interesting. I'd like for you to tell people how they can follow your good work.
So American Vindicta Show, that is our podcast over on YouTube. We're also on Rumble. Please make sure that you subscribe to both. If we ever get taken down from YouTube, because we have had 9 strikes already, we're working on that 10th one. We will be relocated back onto either our Patreon channel or onto Rumble. We also have VindictaSolutions, .com, which is our training site. And we also have a YouTube page for Vindicta Solutions. Make sure that you also, here at the Intel Report, subscribe, like, share, and comment, because that'll help us with the algorithm
On YouTube.
on YouTube.
On YouTube. Yeah. So if you really want the Intel report on YouTube, that's where you got to go. Just follow me at thecommonsenseshow.com. Sign up for our newsletter. We kind of reinvent everything we've done in the last 24 hours. One-stop shopping, over 50,000 people take advantage of that every day. You should too. And on that note, Doug, we're flat out of time. And look forward to our next installment on the Doug and Dave Intel Report. And we'll see you all later. Take care.